All right, welcome to Game Changer. I'm David Villa here with Diana, and we are in part four of Game Changers, five transformative truths every believer needs. We've been discussing them every week. I've enjoyed this this session. We've been really looking at game changers for the believer. You know, kind of just a recap, if you're not a believer, if you don't know Christ, the ultimate game changer is when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, right? You get to a place where He comes into your life and your life is no longer your own. But the reality is your life is now set up for true success. That is the ultimate game changer. But then once you're a believer, what are some game changers that you can adapt to your life? What are some game changers, some truths, right, that believers can apply to their life? And I believe that there are probably hundreds of them if we broke them down. We pulled out just five. We're on week four. And, you know, just let's define a game changer, Diana. Again, it's defined as a newly introduced element or factor that significantly changes an existing situation or activity. So, you know, maybe these are some things that you've heard of. Maybe these are some things that you haven't tried. But we believe that these are five things over the last few weeks and next week that if you place into your life as a believer, it will shift things in for your favor. It will pivot things in your favor. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, as a believer, the Holy Spirit, once you do accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the ultimate game changer for the believer, because the Holy Spirit will empower you, right, to live a life and to apply the changes and the strategies that are necessary to be effective as a believer. And so today, you know, today we're talking about letting your passions outweigh your fears. Let your passions outweigh your fears. That's today's game changer. Excuse me. You guys are going to have to cut that out somehow, or just allow the sneeze to remain. As don't forget that, because...
I don't think I can forget it.
So letting your passions outweigh your fears. Letting your passions outweigh your fears. That's a tough one. You know, and I want to get your take on it, because I think that this, you're going to be able to speak to this a lot as well, because as a believer, we all have passions. We have things that we're passionate about. And, you know, there are, I really don't struggle a lot with maybe chasing my passions or going after them. Probably my struggle is more on the front end. We talked about things, you know, wisdom and, you know, God being unlimited. Some of the things that we've really gone through as a game changer, those are things that I kind of struggle with. This isn't one of them. You know, if I'm passionate about something, a lot of times, you know, I'm all for pursuing it. But, you know, I think that, and I don't want to speak for you, I want you to speak, but, you know, looking at, you know, you obviously have passions. You have things that you want to see God do, and you will hesitate. And maybe there's some fear of the unknown or fear of what if that might weigh in on that. Have you struggled with this one, letting your passions outweigh your fears? If you think about a scale, right, letting your passions outweigh your fears. Well, maybe speak to that for a second.
I feel like I definitely, and it probably is a fear of failure. Anything I want to do, I want to do it in such a way that I succeed. Although I've learned much more through failing than I have succeeding. Mm-hmm. So I think fear definitely is, but I think fear a lot of times comes from maybe a weakening in my trust, mm-hmm. trusting that even if I fail, God's going to work it out for my good.
That's good.
That it's still part of, you know, the greater picture, and that the Lord will make something beautiful out of it. So I think fear a lot of times is a result of maybe a little weakening in my trust. Because if you trust someone, then you know, I'm kind of thinking of, you know, walking on something and it's weak and you're scared, but you trust someone to pull you through it. Do I trust God enough that even in this situation that I trust Him that He's going to help me through it? And I think ultimately I do, but I think there are seasons that I definitely have doubt, you know, and that's why.
Do you think that holds back? So, I mean, if you have a passion, somebody's passionate about something, someone, you know, is passionate about a career change or passionate about a relationship or passionate about, you know, stepping out into a ministry or maybe getting married or having their first kid, or they're passionate about making the decision to buy a home. There's a difference in wisdom. We've discussed wisdom. Okay, we've looked at that over the last few weeks, putting wisdom aside, making sure things are right. I'm talking specifically about these things that we're passionate about. Do you think that people are hindered, believers are hindered by fear, and it might paralyze, procrastinate, or cause them to hesitate too long? Speak to that a little bit. And I ask that because I know you. But I also think that you could speak to, I think that you could
ask
help
the question
people.
Again.
Well, it's not just a question. It's a topic. So, I mean, okay. So people have passions. They're passionate. I mean, I'm just naming things, right?
I feel like you have to stop there because mm-hmm. I think you have to make sure your passion aligns with godly character, principles, integrity, his perfect plan over your life, because I think passions can be driven by emotions and emotions will always steer you wrong. So
we've talked about that. Okay. So I want to press
someone
you.
Might not have watched that one.
I'm going to press you. All right. I'm going to press you. For those of you watching, I'm going to press Diana a little bit.
I fight
so,
back.
Well, yes. But here's the thing. So you are, and I think that you're the perfect person for this because you are so I am so this driven. You are so making sure that there's wisdom and foundation driven. So I'm going to press the person that's listening right now. I want to press you to minister to the person because you've also stepped out and done some things and God's blessed you on the other side of fear. So and by the way, fear is not always irrational or not always justified. There's fears that you could face that, you know, I could have, you know, helped cause. There's fears that you face that something from your past or some experiences, you know, have helped cause. So by the way, if you're experiencing fear, don't be condemned, right? But understand that, you know, that on the other side of that fear, in the proper timing and the proper counting the costs and so forth, God does want to bring your passion to pass. So my question is, and I want to try to press you, if someone, and I'm just naming things, whether you and I, right, this is any covering the bases. Maybe someone wants a new home. Maybe someone wants to enter into a new job and they're feeling it. They feel it. There's an opportunity for it. They have a new relationship. They've been hurt before. Or they're going into a new relationship. Maybe there's a married couple. They've had a miscarriage and they want to have a baby. I'm just naming things. I mean, they've been bit before on a business venture, but they feel called to another business venture. I mean, let's just cover all the bases of anyone. So somebody's there on this side, they feel that this could be a God opportunity, but they hesitate too long. They've counted the cost, but they're still hesitating. Yeah, they feel like it's some wisdom. They've gotten some confirmation, but they're still hesitating. Can we hesitate too long because of fear? And can we do that?
Yes, I think I've missed opportunities.
That.
I think
speak
I've
speak to that person and how you feel like that you can minister to them and how they can overcome it. Because I think that you're the person for this.
I think that when you are questioning whether it's a right move, I think it's seeking the Lord, but I think it's also about maybe going to someone that you also trust and allowing the Lord, because the Lord uses people, and maybe someone that's been through a similar experience or have overcome that. I have missed opportunities. It sounds silly, but I love homes. I love real estate. I love decor. I love all of that kind of stuff. Why I'm not in real estate, I have no idea whatsoever. However,
let your passions outweigh your fears. I've been telling her that for a long time because, I mean, I'm waiting. I believe that God's got some pretty miraculous deals there for you.
But I've seen a property. I've driven by a place that's not very far from our home, and I kept eyeballing that property. And like, you know, I really could see potential there. And, you know, 7 years later, they've cleared it and they put something there. And I thought, wow, I missed out. So I've had things like that. And I think it's just fear of failure. But maybe if I would have, and I usually hold those things in so I don't share them. So I do think you have to be careful about who you share those things with. But yeah. I think connecting yourself with people that are going to pray with you, encourage you, but also give you good, sound, godly advice because maybe they've been there mm-hmm. or they've experienced that. You know, maybe I should have tapped into a real estate developer and said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. I don't know if that would have helped in the situation, but I also have a tendency of putting, you know, my family's passions or what, you know, them accomplishing over my own. So I think it's also about realizing that God has a plan for you, not just, especially if you have a family, especially I think from a mom's perspective, you know, I feel like I was called to be a mom. I love being a mom. I'm still a mom, but, you know, mothering at this point in my life is different than mothering when my kids were still at home. And so I think that natural part of me, I wanted to see them pursue their dreams and succeed at their dreams.
Okay, I'm going to press you a little more. So give me an example, give the listeners an example of something, and then maybe you have to think about this for a second, of something, even if it's small, something you have overcome where you've actually, even be, maybe after hesitation, but you've allowed yourself to do it and it's worked out. On the other side of that fear, God's come through. Something big, something small. Is there anything that comes to your mind that you've done? So that the real estate you're saying you still haven't done, so I'm hearing do it, you know? But and mom was an example. But what have you done that you've overcome that you can maybe say, hey, you know, on the other side of this, as small as it may be or big as it may be, maybe it doesn't relate to someone in the actual context, but or the actual subject, but in the context of it, it will. Is there anything that comes to your mind that you've overcome that fear barrier and now you're seeing that, hey, the Lord actually kind of is doing this? Is there anything that comes to your mind on that or no?
You'll have to give me some more thought okay. during this. I'll interject at another point.
All right, so let me throw this out there. So we were talking about letting your passions outweigh your fears. You know, fear's real, but Timothy, the Bible says in Timothy, it says that, you know, God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. So let's just number one, I think we know this, but let's just clarify that fear doesn't come from God. He's not given us the spirit of fear. He says, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So, but the reality is, it's in me, it's in you. Fear is ever present, and it's a reality. And it's in every one of us, and it hits us different ways. There's things that I struggle with in the area of fear that may be different. We lock our doors. There's an element of fear, right? I mean, we should lock our doors, but we lock our doors. We don't speak up, you know? There's times when you...
I'm really bad about locking doors.
Yes, and I'm really good about it. But you know, that's probably something that's maybe fear-based in some capacity because I'm over... You know, overly, you know, I struggled with OCD for years more than I do now. And, you know, I've learned even in counseling sessions in the past that that's fear-based. There's a fear base there. So there's an element of fear. You know, how about this one? We're in a situation. It could be one-on-one conversation. It can be in a podcast like this, you or I. It can be in a group setting. It can be in a company review. It could be in a leadership meeting. It could be in a family gathering that we don't speak up. Where, you know, we out of fear. Fear caused us not to speak up, right? There's an element of fear. We keep doing all the same old things that we're used to, right? Faith first, challenges and transforms, you know, challenges and transforms our passions, but faith first, right? Then it inflates our passions until they far outweigh our fears. So here's faith first, and then it challenges us and it transforms us. And then it inflates our passions until they outweigh our fears. And that's how it kind of works, right? And we've been in situations, though, where faith hasn't, we haven't allowed faith to inflate to that level. Would you agree? I think a lot of people.
I think for me personally, one thing I think I've gotten better at, mm-hmm. could definitely still improve, is I think, especially as I was the middle child growing up, but I was also a lot of times the older child too, but I did try and be this mediator. And so a lot of times my opinion, I didn't give my honest opinion. I just kind of went along with whatever the majority or what I felt like, okay, this is what people want. So I think I'm getting better about saying what I want or what I think about a situation versus, mm-hmm. You know, mimicking what the other person that I'm in conversation with or discussing something with, mimicking what I really feel like they want. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm getting better. And fear would be because maybe my fear would have been that I would be scared they wouldn't agree with me.
Right.
Or, you know, fear that they wouldn't receive that or accept me or see me differently. So I feel like I'm getting better about communicating that. And I think that's the Lord's, you know, helped me with that. And then also, you know, I think really just more for me, my personal fear would be, you know, saying what I feel and think and expect.
Because we have a fear of...
Rejection. I guess it'd be a fear of rejection.
Yeah. Fear of what somebody thinks, you know, what they think about it, which is rooted in rejection too. So let's talk. So a lot of times we don't put our passions first. We put our fears first. So when we put faith first, okay, faith first. So it's not putting the passions first, because you got to really put them in context. So I think that we're going, because that kind of talks about past things and things that you're passionate about, wisdom and counting the cost. So don't put your passions first, because you might not operate with wisdom, but don't put fear first, because you may never do anything. So really, what is it? It's putting faith first. And faith, when you put it first, it challenges and it transforms our passions.
Well, fear paralyzes. Faith brings motion. Mm-hmm. It
also shines light on it.
Yeah, propels you forward, I think. Faith, you know, compels you to like step out, where fear will cause you to just stay still. I have a tendency to just, if I don't know what to do, I'm just going to stay still and not move, which is not good.
Yeah. And also faith, though, but I think it challenges our passions. Like it makes you realize, with me, it makes me realize, okay, what's David? What's God? What's necessary? What's not necessary? What's from the Lord, and what did I add? You know, so when you put faith first, it challenges it. So yeah, you overcome the fear, but you're also kind of running it through a filter of faith. And then what happens, though, is it inflates our passions, but the God way, the pure way, the way it should be done. So it kind of removes the flesh, and it inflates it. So it gets rid of it.
That comes back down to motive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think faith challenges that, because when you put it up against God, right, and you go, okay, God, analyze this. Right? I mean, he's not going to let you get away. If you really are tuned into it, he's not going to let you get away with the things that have like maybe a false motive, right? I mean, if not, you're going to come right back to the beginning again. What do you think? I mean, I know because I've done it, right?
I don't know why this conversation's so hard today. Maybe it's something that I'm stepping on my toes, but I think
it's a good conversation. I think this is real conversation, and it's going to help somebody.
I think motive is very, very important. And I think if you're motivated by the right reasons, it'll help you step out and overcome your fears. Mm-hmm. So if your motivation is, hey,
pure, godly.
Yeah. I think that really boils down to, it's your motives.
Yeah.
It all has to be grounded in your motive. What is the root of why you want to do this, or why you're holding back? So your motive for holding back might be rooted in fear. And then what is the fear? Is it failure? Is it lack? Is it feeling less than? Is it rejection? Mm-hmm. So I think motive really is a good indicator of, are you walking in fear or faith? You know, there's an old, I think it's an acronym, you know, fear was false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's real simple. That's something I can't even remember when I first heard that a long, long time ago. And I think that's true. Sometimes it's a facade,
a mirage, but
And I think that's also what
feels
that,
real.
Yeah.
And it, you know what? And it's real enough that if it's a mirage, it causes you to make actions that are real. Even
bad
if
ones.
It's a mirage, it'll cause you to Dumb make ones. Actions. Yeah. And those actions have real consequences. That's good.
But in the right motive, in the right walk of faith, that's where God can, bless. And, so I think it still comes back down to motive, where your motives are. They fear-driven or faith-driven?
So a minuscule amount of faith, it's just small. We know what the Bible says about a mustard seed side faith. A minuscule amount of faith can grow into world-changing actions. And I think a life of faith, which is what we're talking about today. This is what we're talking about. I think it's taking us time to dissect it and open it up. But really what we're doing is we're breaking open a life of faith. And a life of faith allows you and I to take big risks, knowing that our passions are more real than our fears. Because Diana just mentioned false evidence appearing real. Your passion was something given by God. It needs to be vetted. It needs to be filtered through faith. It needs to be challenged. It needs to be judged. And okay, we're make sure there's no. I'm not trying to add something or take something away. That it's a God thing. But then I need to overcome the false evidence appearing real. So a life of faith allows us to take big risk, knowing that our passions are more real than our fears, and we can risk everything because we've already given everything over to the creator of everything. We've given everything over to God and he's created everything, right? He's bigger than all the potential risk. And so I will say this, when you do something for God that's big, there's going to be risk. You're never going to be adverse to risk. You're never going to be exempt from taking risk. Those risks need to be calculated. The Bible even talks about counting the cost so that you're not made a mockery of. Also so that you don't risk not finishing. So there's wisdom in that, right? Proverbs is a great book to read when you're going through knowing you want to know God's way of doing things. But, you know, we can risk things when we when we vet in these passions, knowing that God is bigger than everything, right? He's bigger than the potential risks that are there.
Well, I thought about, you know, just as much as you're saying, a minuscule amount of faith grows into world-changing actions. I think also we have to be careful because it's also those little things that spoil the vine. It's those mm-hmm. little things that we allow in our lives. It's little bad thinking, little bad actions, little things that ultimately can cause great damage.
Yeah.
So I think that goes both ways. So I think it still comes back down to allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you and purify your thoughts, purify your motives, purify your actions, purify your speech to mm-hmm. purify that.
Yeah. So, you know, we're looking through the Bible as we wrap up here, the most important quality of a game changer is stepping out for God. You know, if you look through the Bible, we're talking about the Bible's full of game changers. I mean, we can name them, right, if you want us to, but I mean, you got the Davids and the Ruths and the Esthers and the, you know, and of course, Jesus. You got Noahs and the Moses and the Abrahams. I mean, you can just go down the line and down the line, the Joshuas, the Samuels. I mean, the game changers in the Word of God, right? The Word of God is full of, if you want to look at a quick, you know, Hebrews 11, they call it the Hall of Faith. You know, not the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. You can just read down the list of game changers and what they did for the Lord. So the most important quality of a game changer, right? If you're a game changer for Jesus, you're a believer, is stepping out for God. Of course, again, stepping out in wisdom, stepping out in God, for God, with God, but stepping out nonetheless. There is no like hiding in a corner, you know, for God, right? There's stepping out for God. And all the examples that we see in the Word, each person that's called by God in the Bible or in history stepped out from where they are to be a game changer. And I go as far as to say, if you're not going to step out of your comfort zone and run for God, then you're not going to make it. You know, you're not going to make it to your passions. And that's the key, right? And that's the key. And we're talking about that specifically today. And that's something I think that we all need to understand, that God wants us to step out for him. I'm going to leave the last words for you before we thank everybody for listening. So what do you feel?
You know, sum it up. I think when you use the word passions, I understand why you chose that word, but mm-hmm. I just keep going back to, you know, I think passions, I equate that to emotions, mm-hmm. and I think emotions can steer you wrong. So I think it all boils down to a firm foundation of the Lord. And I think if you are every day, you know, I said this probably a few months ago, and it's something that whether I say it out loud or whether I say it within my heart, it's, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. The next part of that is, and I invite you in, I think it comes to back down to, if you're going to be able to overcome your fears, you have to invite the Lord into your day every day and be willing to hear his voice. And you may have to lay down some things and you may have to pick up some things, but then it comes back down to trust. Am I trusting God with my every part of what I'm doing? And am I living a life that is honoring him yeah. in all that I do? And I think when you are doing that, I think that's stepping out in your career, you know. Okay, if you you know, are working at a desk and you're just not interacting, mm-hmm. Is your work giving honor to the Lord? Are you doing it as unto the Lord? Are you giving your best? Mm-hmm. Or are you just doing the motions of your job for the sake yeah. of saying, hey, I did it? Or are you doing it with a heart that I want to do it
right.
before the Lord to the best of my ability? Because in that I'm honoring God, but then I'm also honoring, you know, my job, my peers. You know, when we're not doing all that we should be doing, I think that sometimes puts pressure on other coworkers maybe. So are you doing that? And I think a life yep. lived in that manner, even if you're not, you know, preaching Jesus, I think the way you conduct yourself preaches Jesus.
Amen.
And I think we can be so geared on our speech and then our actions don't line up. So I think it's about every God encompassing every part of our life.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I chose passion too, passion of Christ. I think that passion sometimes, and I hear what you're saying. So let's remove the emotion from it, and let's really maybe get to the root word of what passion is. Your passion is really the reason that you're doing something. So it's really, I think we've kind of adapted it or linked it to emotion, but I mean, the Bible says that Jesus did it for the passion set before him. But what are you passionate about? Right, I think that it's been equated and linked to kind of emotional type things, which are fleeting, but it's really purpose. It's really what your life mission, my life song. Right, remember that old song by Casting Crowns, my life song. Let it sing to you. And I think, what is it? What is your life song? And good stuff. Good stuff. Awesome stuff. Good insight, babe. All right. So listen, we thank you guys again for listening. And it's dropping every day, every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. We drop the episode on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. And make sure you subscribe. We appreciate that. And share it. Tell somebody about Game Changer Podcast if it's a blessing to you. We do love the comments. And on YouTube, we actually see them and we try to get back to them. And we appreciate those of you that comment. Also, if you're on social media, you could follow us and on Instagram or Facebook or I think.
I'm not much of a social media person, but I did interact with somebody last week and it blessed my heart. Yes, I did.
Awesome stuff.
From Game Changer. So I appreciate that and it was encouraging to me. So.
Amen. Well, awesome. Please make sure you do tag us. It is an encouragement and we would love to interact with you and share with you. Also, if you haven't downloaded our Game Changer app, we mention it every week, and we want to thank those of you that have. We're well over 8,000 people that have downloaded our app, which is such a blessing. The reason we say that is because there's a community of 8,000 people plus going on 9 now that share in this app, and you know, and there's daily scriptures, there's daily encouragement messages that come out on that app. There's our YouVersion Bible plans that you can get to. Also, our marketplace ministry. So we have different leaders here that are part of our Game Changer ministry that share words. You can, of course, get to our podcast. There's just so much. And, you know, that way you can stay in contact with what's going on here at Game Changer. So, again, we want to thank you guys. We look forward to seeing you next week. We're going to do our last episode on Game Changers, 5 transformative truths that every believer needs. We're going to go over number 5 next week. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you then on Game Changer.
Be blessed.
Yo.